Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. We are on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chizda Amar Marukva. He's referring back to the discussion regarding a Karban Pesach, which was brought on Shabbos itself. We know one may bring a Karban Pesach on Shabbos and do the Melachos, which are needed to be makir of that carbon. What about doing the melacha of hefshet, flaying, removing the hide of the carbon? May one do that on Shabbos? We have machlokes according to Rabbi Shmuel Bnoi, Shor Brecha and Breika. Only partial flaying is allowed. It can only be mafshet, remove the hide up until the chaza, the chest, in order to provide unobstructed access to the emurin within, to the fats which are needed to be extracted and brought on the mizbeach itself. That partial hefshet indeed is regarded as tzirach gavoya, heavenly need, divine need, for the sake of the hakrava. But more than that, removing more hide is aser because the rest of the carbon is not actually being brought on the mizbeach. That's going to be eaten by the owner. That has to remain as is. According to Chachamim, one should complete flaying, complete removing the entire hide of the entire carbon. That is also regarded as Tzorach Gavoya, heavenly spiritual need, because it's for the covet of the carbon. We have two approaches. Either it preserves the freshness, or so that the carbon wouldn't appear like an avail, like a carcass, therefore it preserves the dignity of the carbon. In either way, either case, there's a heter to remove the entire skin, and he should complete the entire hefshet of the entire carbon. Now the chiddush here is that although the rest of the carbon is going to be eaten by the owner, there's some personal gain and benefit resulting from his hefshet. That's okay, because the primary intent and purpose is for the sake of Hashem, for the covet of the carbon, tzarach gavaya. So it's okay, although it includes within it an element of personal gain, personal hana, personal benefit. Says the Gemara, five lines from the bottom, Omar Rav Chizda, Omar Marukva, May Ahadrulei Chavraya, what did his friends, what did the Chachamim, how did they respond, how did they present their opinion? So what did they do to challenge him? How did they bring a raya to their shita? Says the Gemara, they actually brought a raya from our very Mishnah, Masechet Shabbos. This is what they told him. Since we find that one may salvage the tick of the sefer, we learned that one may save kisvi akodesh, svarim, from a fire and bring them even to a place which has no air, special allowance for kisvi akodesh. The Mishnah tells us a chiddush. Even when the kisvi akodesh are contained in a tick, a container, and even if that container has money within it, it's okay. One can go ahead and be matzel everything in one shot. The kisvi akodesh with the tick with the money. So although there's personal gain resulting, he's saving everything along with the kisvi akodesh, that's okay. So you can take him to a place which has no erev. He's actually, appears that he's moving muktzah in some fashion here. So everything is mutter. Why? Because it's for the sake of preserving the sefer. So you see, it's okay. Even though there's some personal element, there's a personal gain that's resulting as well. Says the Gemara, Hachi Ka'amrili, this is what they told him. Im atzil tika sefer. Im a sefer. Since we find that one can save the tick of the sefer together with the sefer, loy nafshet as a pesach me'oiri, why shouldn't he go and be mafshet the entire pesach of its oir, of its hide, of its skin? Since he's doing it for tzarech gavoya, it's for the carbon's sake. So although there's some personal element here, he's going to eat the flesh, he's going to eat the basar, it's okay because it's still considered to be a carbon and he's doing it for the covet of the carbon. Says the Gemara, how are these two things comparable? Me dummy, are these things to be compared? Hasam tiltel. In the Mishnah, what are we speaking about? Tiltel, moving something. It's not an Issa deraisa. Hacha malacha. Here we're speaking about actually doing a malacha deraisa. Removing the skin of a carbon. Is a malacha of hafshit, a mafshit. How do you know that even in such a case it would be mutter if there's some aspect of personal gain, personal benefit? Omar Ravashi, v'tarti pligi. Actually, there are two things that they are disputing. Chachamim and Rabbi Shmuel have two separate machlokes. Number one, pligi betiltel. And number two, pligi b'malacha. So malacha is what we just discussed. Whether or not one is allowed to complete the flaying process, which is a malacha. And number two, there's a machlokes regarding tiltel. For instance, if the carbon pesach is sitting out in the sun, he wants to move it to a cooler place to preserve its freshness. Now, there's a problem of muktzah. Why? Because if he had partially flayed this carbon, there's some hide hanging, a flap of hide hanging on the carbon, that hide is muktzah. It's useless. It's considered to be muktzah. And the question is whether one can move the carbon now to a cooler place despite the fact there's muktzah attached to it. So according to Mishma, one cannot move the carbon because it's muktzah. And once again, he doesn't regard this activity as a tzirach gavaya, heavenly, spiritual, divine need, because this is merely his flesh he's going to eat. It's for his personal gain and benefit. According to Mishma, there's no heter of muktzah here. According to Chacham, however, they consider any activity done to preserve the freshness for the sake of this carbon, that's allowed, although there's some personal gain involved, included as well. Therefore, they allow moving this carbon despite the muktzah involved. So once again, betarti pligi. They're disputing two things. Pligi betiltel, regarding moving the muktzah, pligi b'malacha, regarding removing the hide. V'hachi ka'amile. Now when the Chachamim challenged him, they were referring to the second aspect, regarding the muktzah aspect. Can one move this carbon despite the fact that there's muktzah involved? So regarding that, they supported their shita from our very Mishnah. V'achi Karmelin, this is what they told him. Im matzilin tikka sefer ma'sefer. Since one can be matzil the tick of the sefer with the sefer, so he's salvaging everything together, he's bringing it to a place that has no eruv, he can do it because it's being done in one go with the sefer for the sake of preserving the sefer. Likewise, when it comes to the Karban Pesach, le nitaltel ur agav basar, why should he not be able to be mitaltel the ur on account of the basar, which is a karban? So, despite the fact that there's muktzah involved, I should be allowed to do that, because it's for the sake of the carbon. And although there's some personal gain included, that's okay. Just as in the case of salvaging from the fire, one can bring the tick of the sefer to a place which has no eruv, despite the fact that he's gaining from it. The container is his personal gain, because he's doing it together with the saving of the Kisvei HaKodesh in one go. So that's okay. So the comparisons regarding the rabbinic iser, not regarding the malacha of Hefshet, says the Gemara, Midami, once again, how are these two things comparable? It's not a proper, correct equation. Hasam, over there, regarding salvage from the fire, Nasa basis l'davar hamutar. This container is a basis, a support, for what? For the sefer within it. So this container is not muktzah. There's no issue of muktzah, hacha. However, in the case of the Korban Pesach, by us, nasa basis adavar aser. This oyer, this hide, this skin around the carbon, is a basis, is supporting what? A davar aser. The flesh, the basar, which is muktzah. Why is it muktzah? Explains Rashi, because up until Moitzoy Shabbos, today's Shabbos, up until Moitzoy Shabbos, which is going to be Pesach, this basar is useless. One can't eat it, one can't derive benefit from it until nighttime comes, when you can go ahead and roast it and eat it. So it's considered to be a davar aser. And anything supporting muktzah, as we know, is muktzah as well. It's a basis of davar aser. So how could you compare the case of the container, which is subordinate, secondary to the Kisvei HaKodesh, and therefore it is regarded as part of it. And if you move the Kisvei HaKodesh, you can bring the container with it. It's okay. It's part of it. It's one act. As opposed to the case of the oyer, which is supporting a muktzah item. It is muktzah involved here. So it's supporting muktzah, and as Rashi points out, there's another aspect as well, because the oyer itself, as we learned, is muktzah as well. So there's a double muktzah, there's two reasons why here it's more chamer, more stringent. How do you know to allow, even in this case, where we're going to move muktzah? So that's more elohachi ka'amrile. Rather, this is what they told him. We'll bring a riot from the other case of the Mishnah, with the money inside. Imatzilin tikshal sefer, ima sefer. Since we find that we can go ahead and salvage the tick of the sefer, the container of the sefer, ima sefer, together with the sefer, v'avapi, sheish besoichei mois, even though there's money present in that container, and this container right now is a basis of davar aser, we can do that, because he's doing it for the sake of the Kisvei HaKodesh. Likewise, by the Korban Pesach, lo nitaltel ur agav basar, why should you not allow him to be metaltel, to move the hide which is connected to the basar, on account of the basar, since he's going to preserve the freshness of the carbon? And once again, despite the fact that there's some personal gain being derived, he's going to eat the flesh, that's okay, because he's doing it for the sake of the carbon, Just as we find by this sefer, he's going to gain by moving the container with the money. Nevertheless, it's mutar because he's doing it for the sake of kavod shamayim. Says the Gemara, dummy. Once again, how are these two things to be compared? In the case of the Kisvei HaKodesh, this container is serving as a double support. It's a basis of davar asur, right, for the money, and it's also a basis supporting davar amutar for the permitted item, which is the Kisvei HaKodesh. So this is not such a stringent muksa, or as others would say, perhaps the Kisvei HaKodesh is more valuable than the money within it. So this basis gets a heter because the more valuable item determines the status of the basis. So either way, it's different than the Korban Pesach, which is Hacha over here, Kuloi Nase Basis Davar Asur. It's entirely becoming a support, a base for the flesh, which is Mokza. So how could you compare the two things? Ela, says the Gemara, Hachi Kamrili. This is what they told him. Im Mevi'in Tik, Sheish V'Soichi Mois Mi Alma. Just as one can bring a container from a different location. If you need the container, somehow it's absolutely needed necessary for the saving of the Kisvei HaKodesh. For some reason, he needs a container, so he can bring it from another location, from the other side of the room, even though it has money within it. He doesn't have to toss out the money. If one can bring a tik which contains money within it, may alma from elsewhere, lahatzabay sevater, to salvage within this container the sevater. So he's bringing a container with money, bring it over here to the Sefer Torah, putting the Sefer Torah within it, and salvaging in this manner. So just as he can go bring that container, which is what? A basis to Muktzah, to the money within it. He can bring it over here for the sake of the Sefer Torah. Likewise, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, why shouldn't he be able to be metaltel the skin which is connected to the basar? Agav basar, on account of the basar. Despite the fact that it's a Muktzah, because it's a basar, davar asur. So this is a proper equation. Both cases are very similar. Both things are mukta and are a basis, because they're a basis, davar asur. Says the Gemara, v'hikufa minola. Now, this itself, how do you know? You're making that assumption that one is allowed to bring a container with money to save the servitor. How do you know that as a fact? Says the Gemara, ilema, perhaps, should we say that the way we know this halach is from dim medehecha, the isbei lo shadalu. From the fact that we know that when there is money inside, from where there is already money within this container, right? The case where the container which has the money with the sefer within it, he doesn't toss it out, doesn't need to toss it out, right? The Mishnah doesn't require him to spill out the money, right? The Mishnah says, one can be matzel, the tick of the sefer, of the tefillin, with the tefillin, even though there's money with him, there's no requirement for him to go spill out the money. So if that's a fact, then isui nami maisina. So likewise, we can derive from there that, in this case, when he needs to bring a container from elsewhere, he can bring the container, despite the fact that there's money contained therein. Is that where you know this halacha from? Just as this is mutter, that's mutter. So it's more me dummy. How are these two things compared? Awesome. In the case of the Mishnah, when the container has two things, it has the sefer and the money within it, there's no requirement to spill out the money because we don't require him to linger around and to take his time. Why? Because in the meantime, the fire will catch on to the sefers. Therefore, he's got to hurry up. There's no need for him to go spill out the money. Therefore, there's a special allowance. But how could you compare it to allowing one to actually bring a container with money from elsewhere? Hacha, over here, Adava, Hachi v'Achi, in the meantime, as he's coming and walking over, Lishdinan, he should go and toss out the money. So you're working with that assumption, that's mutter. Mechatezi, how do you know that as a fact? So how could it bring a riot from something which is really unsubstantiated? Says the Gemara, Elo Omar Mabaravashi. What was the challenge? What was the argument that Chacham presented to Rabbi Shmuel? Was as follows. Lo'oilam, really, Kedamin Mikar. Let's go back to the way we originally said that the discussion, that the argument which the Chacham presented to Rishmal was simply regarding the question of Hefshet. Can one complete the flaying or not? According to Rishmal, no. According to Chacham, one should complete the Hefshet of the Korban. And they will bring a Raya from our Mishnah, just as one may go ahead, salvage this Sefer, which is in a container that has money within it. Despite the fact is, he's being metaltal, and he's gaining from it. He's gaining the money. He's taking it to a place that has no erev. He's moving the muktzah. Since that's allowed. Why? Because his primary intended purpose is for the salvaging of the sefer. So it's okay if personal gain is included as well. Likewise, one can complete the hafshad of the carbon, which is a carbon. He's doing it to preserve the freshness of the carbon. It's covered shemayim. It's tzedek gevaya. It's spiritual need. Despite the fact that there's personal gain involved. So that's the equation. That was their argument. Now we have one problem. Now what about the kash that you had? That how could you compare the two things? Is this an equation? Hacha tiltel, v'hacha malacha. In the fire, he's merely doing tiltel, which is the rabbanon. He's moving something, as opposed to the korban pesach, which entails a malacha. How can you compare the two things? That was your question initially, right? Says Mar Ravashi. Actually, the case of korban pesach only entails, and this is the rabbanon. How is that? He's doing hafshit. The reason is kegoyin, for instance, the loy kaboy lelor. He doesn't need the skin. He doesn't need the hide. He's simply trying to extract the flesh from the hide. It's a davar sheni miskaven. He's not doing hefshet. He's trying just to get the skin, the flesh out, to preserve its freshness, to get it cooled off, or that it shouldn't appear undignified. Since this kavana is not for the hefshet, it's a davar sheni miskaven. Says the Gemara, va'abaye va'amr damr tavayu. But didn't Abaye and Rava both say that Moide Reb Shimon v'psikreishav aloyomus? That Reb Shimon is Moide. Then the case where it's a psikreisha, if it's inevitable, for instance, cutting off the head of a chicken, you want it to stay alive, it's impossible. It's inevitable, it's going to die. So likewise, in this case, how can you say that it would be mutter? It's mutter because it's a davar sheni miskaven. What do you mean it's a davar sheni miskaven? But it's a psikreisha, it's inevitable. You can't take the flesh without flaying, without removing the skin and doing a malach of hafshit. Says Gemara, the shakali bibarzi. You know what it's speaking about? That he removed the bibarzi in strips. And strips of hide are useless. So therefore, he's not doing the malach altogether. There's no malach of hafshit taking place. Hafshit means removing skin that can be used as leather, etc. But when he moves it in thin strips, he renders them useless. So he's not doing a malach. Not doing a malacha the rise of Heshet, as Rashi points out, it's a shvus, it's a rabbanon. Okay? So if that only involves this rabbanon, then the equation works perfectly. The rabbanon being a raya, just as in the case of the fire, he can do an isad rabbanon, he can bring the container with the money, carry muktzah, bring it to a place that has no erev, so it only involves this rabbanon, that's allowed since he's doing it on account of the sefer, tzerach gevaya, despite the fact there's some personal gain included. Likewise, by the hafshad of the carbon, he can go ahead and complete the hefshet, because he's doing it in strips. It's not a melacha d'oraisa. He's not mechaven for the hefshet. He's simply trying to preserve the freshness and dignity of the flesh, of the meat. That will be mutter, despite the fact that there's some personal benefit resulting, because he's doing it for the kavod of the carbon of the kavod shemayim. So in summary, regarding being a mafshit, a carbon pesach on Shabbos, we have machlokes. According to Shmuel, b'noi shel brechon breika, he can only be mafshit ad hachoza, until the chest, to remove the emurin, which are considered to be tzerach gevaya, they're going on the mizbech, but past that he can't, because the basar, that's considered to be tzerach hedid, because it's a joint, it's a carbon, it's a combined gevaya and hedid together, it's also for personal gain, therefore, one cannot do the malacha pertaining to the basar. Whereas according to Rabbanon, he can go ahead, and he should go ahead, and remove the entire skin, mafshet kulay. The emurin are certainly tzerach gevaya, and the flesh as well. Since it is for the sake of carbon, despite the fact that there's some personal gain resulting, well, it's mutter, just in the case of saving the container with the money. Agav, the safer, because he's doing it to preserve, to save the safer, therefore, even personal gain that comes along with it is mutter. Continues the Gemara. Ulaicha matzil n'oisan, the Mishnah tells us where he's going to transport these items. So the Mishnah said, two shittas. Tanakama say, Lamovoi she'enu mefulish. He needs to take it out to a alleyway, which is Eina mefulish. Mefulish means opened up. So it's an unopened mavoi. Then Beseira says, Afl mefulish, even an open mavoi. He can even bring it out to that location. Now we must point out that, as Rashi brought in the Mishnah, beginning of the Perek, that all agree that he can go and salvage the svarim, bring them out to a place which has no Erev. So although the Erev is a rabbinic requirement, this is a special leniency when it comes to saving svarim. Now when we speak about a mavui, so actually the Erev was called Shituf. It was a partnership which was done between all the inhabitants of the courtyards which access the mavui. They need to combine their ownership, and only in that way can they be metaltal, use the mavui. So technically it's called Shituf. Rashi refers to it as Erev. So let's just refer to it as Erev. So the point of the heter is that even though there's no Erev being conducted with this mavui, so generally speaking one cannot carry this mavui, but there's a special allowance that one can bring the Kisvei HaKadosh into this mavui despite the fact that it's lacking in Erev. Now, so that's one leniency, agreed upon by all. What about the physical configuration of the mavui? How many walls does it need? Does it require to allow transporting the Kisvei HaKadosh within it? We have a machlokes between the Tanakhama and Ben Masirah. The Gemara is going to explain to us exactly the specifics and the configuration, the physical layout of this mavui according to both shittas. Says the Gemara, Heichi dami mafulish. Ben Masirah says he can bring it out even to a mavui hamafulish, an open mavui. What is an example? What exactly is this mavi hamafulish? Heichi dami she'ena mafulish. And what is the example of this mavi which is not mafulish, meaning the Tanakam who says that needs to be brought into an ena mafulish mavi, a mavi which is unopen? What exactly are we referring to? So once again, Tanakam says an unopen mavi, but Beserah says even an open mavi. So what are the specifics here? Omer Rav Chisda, Shalosh mechitzis u'shnei lechayayin. This mavi has three walls, so it looks like a U, u'shnei lechayayin, and two side posts at the open side of the mavi. Now the mavi was an alleyway into Shesurabim. Chachamim required some sort of sign of separateness to separate the mavi from Shesurabim in order to allow carrying in the mavi. So it shouldn't be confused with Shesurabim, can carry here, can carry there. No, they wanted to separate the two things. So there are two types of separations. One is a lechi, a side post erected by the opening, by the entranceway of the mavi, where it enters the Shesurabim. And there's something called a kira, a beam lying across the entranceway. So these things, they separate the mavi from the Shesurabim. They call attention to the fact that it's a separate area, and according to some, it's considered like a machitza. Either way, the point is that this is matter, this allows carrying within this mavi. Now, there are various shittos regarding the requirements, as we're going to see. What exactly is required to be erected by the entranceway of the mavi where it meets the Shesurabim? Says Rav Chisda that both shittos in our Mishnah are actually concurring with the shita of Rabbi Lezer, who requires as follows. A mavi, in order to allow carrying within it, needs to have three mechitzes, three partitions. It needs to look like a U. So two and one behind it. It needs to be an enclosed area. And there needs to be two side posts erected by the entranceway of the mavi where it enters when it meets the Saravim. That's the standard requirement for a mavi. Now in the case of Kisvei HaKadosh, there's going to be a leniency according to Ben Becerra. Let's see. Amar Chizah Shalosh Mechitzes V'Shnei Lechayayin, three mechitzes, so enclosed on three sides, U'Shnei Lechayayin. In addition to that, two side posts by the entranceway of the mavi to Shesurabim. Zeu mavi she'enu mefulish. This is considered to be a perfectly closed mavi, enu mefulish, unopen, which the Tanakama requires to allow the Kisvei HaKadosh to be brought into the mavi. So there's no leniency regarding the physical configuration of the mavi. Gimel mechitzes v'lechi echad, zehu mavi mefulish, a mavi which contains three mechitzes, but only one lechi, only one side post alongside the entrance of the mavi, that is regarded as a mavi hamefulish, an open mavi. I mean, it's not completely properly closed off. And this is the sheet of a Beseira, that we allow a downgrade when it comes to saving Kisvei HaKadosh, a leniency. We don't require two lechayim, one lech on each side, even if it only has one lech, one side post on one of the sides of the entranceway. That's mutter, according to Ben Masirah. V'tarvaya ali b'der Belezer, and both Zanakam and Ben Masirah are both basing their views. They're both following. They both concur with Rabbi Lezer, who generally requires two side posts, two lechayim, two lechis. This is not as we find in the following Mishnah. Various sheetis regarding the requirements, the ordinary requirements, the typical requirements of a movi for carrying. Hechsha movi, what fixes the movi, what allows it to be used for carrying. Who needs to make a lechi, a side post, and also a kaira, a beam on top of the entranceway? We say, I mean, one or the other. Oy lechi, oy kaira. Either a lechi or a kaira is sufficient. Reb Leza Omer, shnei lechayayim. He needs two side posts. So we're following Shita Reb Leza, who generally requires two side posts. So according to Tanna Kamma, that is required here as well. It needs to be a mavi she'einu mefulosh. Once again, she'einu mefulosh means it's unopened. It means totally shut, totally surrounded, properly closed off. With two lechayayim, as a typical mavi requires, there's no leniency regarding the physical configuration of the mavi. Could the Rebbe Seira, aflu mefulosh, he can go salvage those kisvei hakodesh, those sfarim, even to a mefulosh mavi, even an open mavi. What does he mean? Doesn't mean totally open. It means that it's missing some enclosure. It doesn't have your typical requirements. It has only one side post instead of two. Amalei Rabba, how can you interpret the Mishnah like this? Gimel mechitzas v'lechi echad. When Rebbe Seira says one can carry into a mefulish, an open mavi. According to your interpretation, what does this mean? Three mechitas with one lechi. So he has a leniency. Instead of two lechis, one lechi. Mefulish karasle. This is what you call a mavi, mefulish, an open mavi. The wording is difficult. Why would Ibn Say refer to this completely closed mavi as an open mavi? It's merely lacking a one lechi. So the wording, semantics is difficult. Void additionally, halacha question. The Rabbanan not to l'soicha ichlam mashkin. According to the Rabbanan, meaning the Tanna Kamma, who is speaking about a fully enclosed mavi, three mechitzos, two l'chayayim by the entranceway, so it's a properly enclosed mavi. The only thing it's missing is the erev. Now, why do we find when it comes to saving ichlam mashkin and the Mishnah of Kuf Chaf, that the Chachamim say, look, you can be matzal the ichlam mashkin, foodstuff, food and drinks from a fire, into a chotzer mu'ureves. Why does the Chacham need to stipulate that it needs to be brought into a chotzer mu'ureves, which sounds like a whole new type of place, a whole new entity? What's wrong with this mavi she'ein mefulosh, which is fully enclosed? It's lacking an eruv. Fine. So Chacham should say, well, he needs to have an eruv. But why do they need to stipulate that the Eichlal Mashkim, unlike the Kisei HaKadosh, that can be brought into a, saved into a mavi she'ein mefulosh, you should know the Eichlal Mashkim, they need to be brought into a chotzer ha-mu'ureves. Well, if we're speaking about a fully enclosed mavi, which is merely lacking an eruv, so why can't you bring the Eichel Mashkim into the same location, provided that it has an eruv? So it's again, it's a wording, it's a semantics problem. Why did the Chachamim use the term l'chotzer ha-mu'ureves? Let's see inside. V'oid, additionally, the Rabbanan, who are speaking about a fully enclosed mavi, not to l'soicha Eichel Mashkim. One should be allowed to bring, transport, even oichlan and mashkin, food and drink, into the same location as long as it has an eruv. So apparently, that's not the proper pshat in the Mishnah. We're not speaking about a fully enclosed, fully surrounded mavi. El amar rabba. The pshat is as follows. Shtei mechitzes shnei lechayayin. Two mechitzes. So you have just two mechitzes running alongside each other. Ushnei lechayayin. With two lechis, meaning one lechi on either end of the mavi, one here and one here. So this is the mavi, this is the length of the mavi, two mechitzas, one lechi here to enclose this area, one lechi here. That is what the Messiah is referring to. Zehu mavi she'einu mefulosh. This is what the Tanna Kamma is referring to. Zehu mavi she'einu mefulosh. This is an unopened mavi. Shtei mechitzas v'lechi echad. Zeu mavi mefulosh. When it only has two mechitzas with one lechi, either on this side or on this side. This indeed is a mavi mefulosh. Now we understand the wording. This is an open mavi. V'tarbayu alib Rabbi Yehuda. And both Tanna Kamma and Beseir are following Rabbi Yehuda's approach, who says that even when you have only two mechitzas, that's sufficient. As long as they tax on a lechi on either side, that allows carrying within it. So they're both basing their opinions on Rav Yehuda. Generally speaking, we need two lechis, two mechitzas, and one lechi on either side. That's the typical allowance, typical requirement. According to Ibn Sira, there's an allowance here, there's a lenience here, that even if it's missing one lechi, it's okay. Whereas according to Tanna Kamma, there's no downgrade. We require everything that we require generally, we need two mechitzas with two lechis. So that's the pshat according to Rav. Not that they're basing their opinion on Rav Eliezer, but rather according to Rav Yehuda. They're both following Rabbi Yehuda's shita. The Sanya is one of the brides. Yosef came to Rabbi Yehuda. Additionally, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Mi sheyesh lo shnei batim." If one has two houses, b'shnei tzidir shesurabim, on both sides shesurabim. So picture shesurabim running between two homes. So there are actually two mechitzas surrounding this virtual alleyway here. Says Rabbi Yehuda, carrying can be allowed within this enclosure, provided he adds something. Oise lechi mekan, lechi mekan. So he makes a lechi on one side, lechi on the other side. Oye kair mekan, v'kair mekan, or a kair on either side. V'noise nois memtza, and he can perfectly carry inside. It's perfectly fine. It's a perfectly enclosed area. Amr loy, Chacham responded to him. Two mechitzes, they don't make a rishus hayochid. Ein ma'ar mishus rabim bekach. One cannot make an air mishus rabim in this manner. But in any case, Rabbi Yehuda says he could. As long as there are two full mechitzes, and he adds some additional add-ons, lechis and kurs, then it allows carrying within it. Says Rabba, our Mishnah is concurring with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Generally speaking, two mechitzes and a lechi on either side or kur on either side are sufficient to allow carrying within it. And indeed, the Tanakhama requires that. He says, to save even Kisvei HaKodesh, one needs a fully enclosed area. All the physical configuration requirement that are required generally are required here as well. It needs to be a mavi, she'enim afulash. So this is the mavi, and it's enim afulash, meaning it's not open, it's properly enclosed, properly configured, there's a lech on either side, or a curtain on either side, as required. According to Ben Becerra, afulim afulash, even a open mavi, meaning even if it's not properly configured, even if there's only one lechi on one side, or a kohar just on one side, it doesn't conform to the standard physical configuration of a carrying allowance. Nevertheless, here it's mutter because it's a kisvei HaKodesh. Says the Gemara, okay, so you understand, you answered the first kasha. The kasha was, why does Ben Becerra refer to this as a mavi hamafulash? Yeah. Because unlike in the earlier pshat, when we're speaking about a mavi which had three walls, that's not an open mavi. Why does it refer to it as an open mavi? In contrast to that pshat, and according to this pshat, we're speaking about it merely has two full walls. That's called a mavi hamafulash. It has two walls with only one lechi. That's an open mavi. So indeed, according to Ben Becerra, one can carry the kisvei HaKodesh even into this mavi hamafulash, this open mavi. However, the second kasha is still difficult. According to you as well, according to your pshat, Rabbi's pshat. What about the second kasha? The Rabbanon who require a fully enclosed mavi, needs to be two mechitzes with a lech on either side, which is standard procedure. The only thing lacking here is the erev, right? There's no shittuf in this mavi, there's no erev. So when it comes to oichlan or mashkin, there's no allowance. And contrast to Kisvei HaKodesh, where he can bring it even to a place which has no Erev. Eichel Mashkim need an Erev. So why didn't the Rabbanim really say, you know what, bringing the food here, provided there's an Erev, why did they have to go ahead and stipulate and say, well, food and drink only brought into Chatzar or Reves. Why not into this Mavi, which is a properly enclosed Mavi, two Mechitzes with two Lechis? Just add the Erev. Amalei Abayla D'dachnam, according to you, it is also difficult. He can go ahead and transport and salvage into this mavi food and drink, provided there's an erev there. So why did the Chacham indicate otherwise? It seems like they don't want to use this mavi for food and drink. Elo maravashi. This is going to be the third pshat in the Gemara. Let's go back to the first approach that Tanakama and Ben Becerra both hold, like Rabbi Lezer, that to allow carrying in a mavi, you know what you need? You need three mechitzes. It needs to be surrounded from three sides, plus two lechis, two side posts at the entrance. That's a general requirement. In the case of Kisvei HaKodesh, there's a downgrade, there's an allowance. There's a leniency applied. Sholish mechitzes v'lechi echad, zeo mavi she'enu mefulish. According to Tanakama, we can downgrade. We don't need the standard requirement. We don't need the two lechis as we usually do. Even going to the Chachamim, going to the Tanakama, one can downgrade when it comes to saving Kisvei HaKodesh, the special leniency, special allowance that even allows for saving into a mavi which has only one lechi present. So that's the Tanakama shita. According to Ben Becerra, even with no lechis present, Gimel mechitzis beloy lecha without any lecha whatsoever. Zeu mavi am a foolish. That is the mavi am a foolish, the open mavi, which Rabbi Meseira was referring to. Vafilu Rabbi Lezer, even according to Rabbi Lezer, the Omar, who holds that generally speaking, he said the ba'inim lechayim, we require two side posts. Hanimid lechla mashkim. That's only regarding mundane objects. Oichla mashkim. And therefore, the Chachamim indeed stipulated on the Mishnah of Kavchav that to save food and drink, you need to have a chatzam or rebbes. What they meant to say is, you need a fully enclosed area. This mava here, it's downgraded. It's missing something. It's missing at least one lechi. Therefore, they changed their terminology. They used the term chatzam or rebbes to indicate that this mava is not appropriate for saving food and drink. So let's conclude. Afilu Rabbi Lezer d'amar b'inyan chayayim. Even according to Rabbi Lezer, generally speaking, you need to have two side posts. Hanimi lechem l'mashkim. That's only regarding salvaging food and drink into this location. Aval l'seva Torah. Or some have a girsa aval l'kisvei kodesh. Some of these holy scrolls. There's a leniency. There's a kula involved. Bechad lechi sagi. Even one lechi is sufficient. According to the Chachamim, according to the Tanakhama here. Bechad lechi sagi. Even one lechi is sufficient. There's a leniency here. And this is the mavish einim of foolish that they're referring to. It's not an open mavi. It's surrounded from three sides. It has a lechi. It's not open. Nevertheless, there is some kula here. It's not a properly configured mavi. It's not your typical mavi, which allows carrying mundane objects. It doesn't have two lechis. And according to Bemesera, he can transport the kisei kodesh even to mavi hama foolish. What does mavi hama foolish mean? It means that it's lacking both side posts. It's fully open to the surrounding to the street. It's exposed to the street without any lech, without any side posts. So we answered both kashas that we had. We had a kasha, why does the B'mesei refer to it as an open mavi? Yeah, it's open because at the opening, at the entranceway, there are no side posts whatsoever. It's fully exposed and open. The second kasha was, according to the Chachamim, why can you not bring food and drink into this mavi, provided there's an Erev? Yeah, because this mavi is missing something. It's missing a physical feature. It's missing one of the lechis that are required. Therefore, one can only salvage kisvei hakodesh into this mavi, but not food and drink. So in summary, the way the Gemara concludes that both shittas, Tanakam and Rebbe Meseira, are going according to shittas Rebbe Lezer, which generally requires for the hechsher mavi, for the allowing of the carrying of the mavi, what does need to be done, what configuration, what addition, what heksher, what tikkun needs to be done for a mavi to allow carrying? Generally speaking, the mavi needs to have three mechitzas and two lechis at the entranceway. And indeed, regarding saving food and drink, the Chachamim maintain that is only allowed provided it's a full-fledged mavi, a proper mavi, which has three mechitzas and two lechis. That is Shitas Rabbana later in Daf Kuf Chav. Regarding the machlekes in our Mishnah about saving kisvei hakodesh, we have a machlekes. We're speaking about a mavi that has three mechitzes. Regarding the lechis present, according to the Chachamim, at least one lechi is required, and that is what they're referring to when they say it's a mavi she'einim a foolish. It's not an open mavi. It has that lechi at the entranceway, according to Ben Mesera. One can salvage kisvei hakodesh into a mavi. I'm a foolish, an open mavi. What does he mean? He means that it has three mechitzes, but it has no lechi. It has absolutely no side posts at the entrance of the mavi. Even so, it's allowed, it's a kula applied specifically to kisvei hakodesh. Continues the Mishnah. Matzilin mazon shalish su'udos. If a fire broke out, one can salvage the food required for three su'udos of Shabbos. Haroi la'adam. Food fit for a person. La'adam, you can save for a person. So you can save this allotment, this amount, three su'udos worth per person. Haroi la'behema. Food fit for an animal, a behema. You can save for the behema, whatever he needs for Shabbos. Keitza. What is the example? Naflod Leika B'Leila Shabbos. The fire broke out Friday night. At that point, he still needs a full three sudas. Matzilin Mazen Gimel Sudas. Indeed, he can salvage the amount needed for the full Shabbos three sudas. Because he hadn't yet eaten three sudas. B'Shachros, however, the fire broke out in the morning, which was after the night suda. Now he can only save two sudas worth. Matzilin Mazen Beis Sudas. B'Mincha, the fire broke out in the afternoon. After he's already eaten his morning meal, then he can only salvage one meal's worth mazon tzudachas. So whatever he actually needs, that's what he could salvage. Rabbi Yosi Omer, lo'ayla matzilin mazon shalosh sudois. No matter when, no matter where, he can always save three sudois worth. the amount of three sudas is the Shabbos allotment. That's what's required for a Shabbos. A Shabbos requires three sudas to be eaten on it. Therefore, there's no differentiation between the time of day and how many sudas is actually eaten. It's not dependent on the practical need. The Chum established a formula. You can't go ahead and save as much as you want. You need to save the Shabbos requirement, which is three sudas. So as long as it doesn't deviate from that, that's okay. It's the Shabbos food. Three sudas is the Shabbos requirement, the Shabbos amount. So that's the hat of the Chachamim, regardless of the time of day or night. Says the Gemara, why are we restricting him to merely three sudas? Michli, let's take a look. Beterah Ketarach, what is he doing? He's busying himself with permissible things. This is not Muktzah. And he's only bringing it to a place with an Erev. So what's wrong? Natzal Tzvei. Let him save as much as he wants. Let him save more. Natzal Tzvei. Let him save more. Amar Rava Meteuch Shad Nabal Mamoinai. Since a person is perturbed, he's anxious regarding his property that's going up in flames, Isharisle, if you allow him to save more, Osir Boy, he might totally forget, disregard Shabbos. He might be so preoccupied with his salvaging activities, he might just forget that it's Shabbos, and Oslo Chbuyi might be tempted, might come out to put out the fire. Therefore, we must restrict him. And by restricting him, we are toning him down, calming him down, and he will not come to forget about Shabbos. Amalei Abayi. But how do you explain the following, Bryce? Well, we find a similar restriction. Elo Adesanya. Now, regarding the following, Bryce, Adesanya, as it says, Nishbar Lo Chavez Barish Gagai. So if one's barrel broke apart on his roof, barrel, for instance, with wine, maybe kli, he can bring one utensil, mnech natem, place it underneath the barrel to collect the wine. Provided it doesn't go bring another kli. You can only do one kli, you can't bring another kli, v'yiklait, and catch the flow mid-air, kli achavit sarif, or bring another kli and place it level to the roof to have the wine drip in. So only bringing one kli is allowed, no more. We can't allow him to get overly involved. So the Gemara, what's the concern there? There's no fire. Hasam, my gzer ika. What is the concern on which we're basing this prohibition, this gzer? So the Gemara, I'm here as well. Gzer shama yave kli, derech rishis ram. There's a concern that by nature, by virtue of his over-involvement, he's going to be tempted to bring a kli from rishis ram. So perhaps he'll forget about Shabbos. He's going to be so involved in saving his property, his content of his chavis, then he'll forget about Shabbos and actually bring a kli through rishis ram to the malach. Therefore, we limit it to only one kli, tone down, calm down, take a little bit for what you need, and no more than that. Gufa, we just learned. Nishbar lo chavez barish gagai. So this barrel broke, maybe kli, munich tachter, you can bring a kli and place it underneath. Ubevashal yobi kli achav yikli, variety doesn't bring another kli to capture the flow, kli achav yitzarif, bring another kli to a place next to the roof to have it dripped into it. Nizdama lo yorchen, what if he somehow some guest showed up? Maybe kli achav yiklit. Then he can provide for them. He can bring another kli, capture the flow, kli achav yitzarif, to capture the drip. V'lo yiklit v'achach yasmin. However, he can't do things in the reverse. Say, look, let me go capture the flow and then I'll get some guests. He can't do that. It needs to be an immediate, a true, genuine need. Elo yasmin v'achach yiklit. He needs to invite his guests first and ascertain that he really has a true need for the additional wine, and then he can go collect the wine. Ve'im arimim mekach. But one cannot employ a pretense when it comes to this. He can't go ahead and invite some guests that are already eaten, have no need for this wine, invite them, pretend that he needs it for their sake, and salvage the wine for that purpose. So harama, pretense is also. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosi Amru? So the name of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, they said, Marimin. One may employ pretense. So as long as it appears like he's conforming, he needs to comply with these restrictions, have guests and pretend that there's a need, that is already toning him down, that's conforming with the framework of this gzera, and there's no concern of over-involvement to the extent of bringing stuff to Rosh Hashanah. So harama, pretense, is allowed in this case. Or machlokes tanoim. Says the Gemara, this machlokes tanoim, whether pretense is allowed, lema, perhaps we should say, but plukta, there are belezer, Rabbi Shoka mefluki. And this machlekes tanoim is actually compatible with another similar machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and Rishon regarding employing a pretense in a different context regarding doing tircha, bringing an animal up from a bar on Yom Tov. The son, as we learned in the Brice, oisiv es benoit, so the mother and the child, there's nothing with bar, fell into the animal, mother and child fell into a bar, and we know that one may not shecht the mother and the child on the same day. So now it's Yom Tov. He can only slaughter one of them. Now they're both sitting in the bar. Both of them are not suitable. So how is he going to bring them both up? Rav Lezo, I'm a recant. Mala es harishon. So you can bring up the first one. I'm not l'shoichtoi. For the intent of slaughtering it. Vasheni, but the second one stuck in the bar, oisle parnasavim kaimai. He simply provides it with parnasa, with whatever he needs to sustain it, in its place down there. Mishvah shal yamas. So it doesn't die, but he cannot burden himself to bring it up from the bar because he doesn't need it. He cannot shecht it if he already shechts the first one. There's a solution for both. Malin as harishon, I'm not so shechtoi. He brings the first one up with the intent, pretending that he wants to shecht it. But then, you know what he says? I don't want to shecht it. I want to use the other one. Perhaps the other one, Rashi says, he says, well, the other one is perhaps better quality. Umarim, and he employs the pretense. He pretends. Umales hasheni, and brings up the second one. Now he has two in front of him. He has a choice. Rotzaf, he wants the shechet. He shechts this one. Rotzaf, he wants the shechet. He shechts the second one. So according to Bishul, one can employ an harame pretense. So a machlekes, the Rambam Lezer does not allow, Bishul allows. So perhaps these two opinions are compatible with the other opinions regarding saving the wine with a pretense. That's what I mean by, how do you know to compare the two things? Dilma, perhaps, at can like Rambam Lezer hasam. Perhaps Rambam Lezer, who prohibits in that case, it's only over there where he says that he cannot employ a harama. Why? The efshel panasa, because there's a solution. He can provide sustenance for the animal where he is. So therefore, Rabbi Lezer does not permit employing a pretense. Avalach, in the case of the wine which is dripping away and getting lost, the loyafshar, there's no alternative here. Loy, perhaps over there it's different. And Rabbi Lezer would allow saving through employing a pretense. Va'atkan loykamar b'shul hasam. And this the Rabbi Yeshua allows over there, perhaps that's only Mishum Deikat Tzar Baal Chayim, because there's pain, there's this tsar for the Baal Chayim who is sitting in the bar there. So perhaps for that reason, he applied a kula and allowed harama to be applied. Aval Hachav, in the case of the wine, there's no living creature, the Leket Tzar Baal Chayim, there's no tsar for a living creature. Loi, perhaps over here he would not allow. Therefore, perhaps these two discussions are unrelated. And in summary, we have two shita, we have two cases, we have a machlekes regarding harama, one is regarding the wine, one is regarding the animals in the bar, and Yom Tov. The Gemara concludes that the two discussions seem to be perhaps unrelated. Tana Rabban, we learned in a brisa. We're going back to the case of salvaging food from a fire. Mishnah told us it can only save the amount needed for three sudot, says the brisa. Hitzel pasnikia. What if he saved clean bread, high quality bread made from refined flour? Ain't matzal pasadro. He can go back and say, well, I'd like to have the other bread as well, the lower quality bread made from unrefined flour. It's obvious that he's simply trying to protect and save his property. It's not for immediate use. It's not for Shabbos use. Why would he need inferior quality bread if he already has high quality bread? So you can't do that. But in reverse, it's mutter. Let's say initially he saved pasadro, the lower quality bread. He can go back and salvage high quality bread. You can say, well, I'd like to have the better quality bread for my meal. Pasadro, so initially he took the low quality bread. Matzil pasnakia, he can go back and salvage the high quality bread. Continues the brisa. Umatzilim Yom Kippurim l'Shabbos. So let's say there's Yom Kippur and tomorrow is Shabbos. On Shabbos he can't break bread, he can't prepare his meal. So if the fire broke out on Yom Kippur, he can salvage for the sake of tomorrow, for the sake of Shabbos as well. But he cannot salvage on Shabbos for the sake of Yom Kippur, which falls out after Shabbos, as Rashi explains, because he doesn't need to eat it tomorrow, it's Yom Kippur. He only needs it Mitzvah Yom Kippur, which is weekday. Let him go ahead and bake his bread then. So therefore, he cannot salvage from today for Yom Kippur. Needless to say, certainly he can't save on Shabbos for the sake of Yom Tov, which is tomorrow, because baking on Yom Tov itself is mutter. Nor can he save from this Shabbos for the sake of the coming Shabbos, or some versions say for the sake of the coming weekday. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, a similar concept of salvaging the amount needed for three sudis. The Braisa says, Shochach pas betanar, the Kiddush al Vayoyim. Let's say it's Shabbos, Kiddush al Vayoyim, it's Shabbos, and he reminds himself, oops, I left the bread baking in the oven. Shochach pas betanar, the Kiddush al Vayoyim. Now, what's the problem here? What's entailed here? So we're going to learn soon that there's an Issur Rabbanan to go ahead and peel the bread off the oven. So it's an Issur Rabbanan. Nevertheless, the Chachamim applied a leniency, a kula, Matzilin mazon shalosh udos. One can go ahead and save, take from the oven, take out bread needed, required for 3 sudas of Shabbos. And he can turn to others as well and say, Boyu Vatzilochem, come, save for your sake. Go save for your needs. Ugushu Roid, however, when he goes and removes the bread off the oven, they used to peel it off the wall of the oven. Loi Yarde Bemarda, he shouldn't go ahead and peel it off using a paddle, which was the typical tool used for peeling off the bread. Elabasak, and rather he should use a knife, he should deviate from the way he usually does it. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that so? Is that a problem using a marda? V'atana de Rishmael, we learned in this price, regarding the melacha on Shabbos, lo yisasa ko melacha, the pasuk says, don't do any melacha. Now the pasuk specifically uses the word melacha. This excludes yotza, tkiya shayfar, blowing a shayfar, diyas apas, removing the bread from the oven. These are not melacha, shi chachma, this is merely a chachma, a talent. Veina melacha, that's not considered to be a melacha, it's not asum deraisa, rather, it's only asum derabanan. Now, the Chacham allowed, they provided this allowance of removing 3 sudos worth, so they did away with their Isser, and allowed one to remove 3 sudos worth, so they did away with the Isser de Rabbanan. So, what difference does it make if he's using this tool or that tool? In either case, the Chachamim allowed. Says the Gemara, nevertheless, Kama de Efshel Shanui Mishaninan. As much as we could be mashana, deviate from the way it's normally done during the weekday, we're meant to be mashana to deviate, therefore, rather than using the tool, use a knife. So in summary, we learned in the Mishnah, one may save from a fire the mazain required for 3 sudos, according to Rabbi Yossi, regardless of what time, day or night it is. This formula of 3 sudos is applied throughout the entire Shabbos. He's saving the Shabbos allotment, which is 3 sudos. We learn likewise, when a chavis of wine broke apart, he can salvage with one kli, but he can't bring any more. This is a concern that he might bring it through Rosh Hashanah. If he has guests, then he can salvage more. Regarding employing a pretense, going ahead and inviting guests that don't really need it, we have a machlekes. Regarding bread in the oven, and Shabbos comes around, he can go ahead and remove 3 sudos worth. The Gemara tells us, he's meant to use a second. So that it's done differently than an ordinary weekday. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Chisda, lo'oilam yashkim adam lo'hitzah Shabbos. A person should always seek to get up early on Friday morning to tend to the hitzah Shabbos, to the expenditures of Shabbos, to go shopping for Shabbos, shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, by the midbar. V'hoya b'yom hashishi, this was Friday. Ve'chinu, they should prepare esa sheyaviyu, what they're going to collect. This is the man which needed to be ground up, cooked, baked. So the man that's going to be collected, they should prepare it. Now, when does the collection take place? Early in the morning. The pasuk joins together the preparation with the havo, with the collection. Apparently, it's coming to teach us la'alter. It's meant to take place immediately. You collect, and then you begin the preparations right in the morning. Amar Abba, we learn another halacha from the man. B'Shabbos chayav adam liftsoya. On Shabbos, one is obligated to make the bracha v'amotzi al shtei kikros on 2 loaves of bread, d'chsiv, lechem mishnah. Because on Friday, a double portion of man fell in honor of Shabbos, since there was no man on Shabbos. So therefore, we make that commemoration for the nace that happened, and we make a mitzvah on 2 loaves of bread. Omar of Ash, chazine li Rav Kahana. I saw Rav Kahana did as follows. The Naka Tarti, he took 2 loaves in his hand, but he only sliced one. Omar, he said, lok tu ksiv. It says, lok tu lecha mishnah. They gathered a double portion. So I gathered 2 loaves, but they actually sliced me. I'm only doing one. Says the Gemara, Rav Zera have a batza, akulo sheirutze. He would slice, a large slice, which was sufficient for his entire meal. Amale Ravino la Ravashi. How come he's doing this? It doesn't seem to be proper, but Mirzik Rav Sanusa looks like gluttony, taking such a large slice. Amale, so Ravashi responded, kiven the kol yoyim of it. Since on an ordinary day, he doesn't do this. Vo'idna, it's only now on Shabbos with the Ka'avad, does he do it in this manner? Loi mechzik Rav Sanusa, it doesn't look like gluttony. He's simply expressing his endearment for the Suda of Shabbos, therefore it's okay. Rav Amir Rav Asi, ki miklulu rifta, de ruva. So this is the bread which was used for the Erev Chatzeres, all the owners joined together by bringing together this bread, and they used to rotate, sometimes they used to put it into one house, sometimes into the other. So when the bread would arrive at the home of Rav Ravasi, Kimiklaluhu, Rifta de Ruva, the Rifta, the bread, the Ruva of the Arab would come to them, Kimiklaluhu, So what would they do? Sharu ilvei. They would make a bracha amotzi on it. Why? Amri, they said, hoy lis aved chada mitzvah. Since one mitzvah was done with this bread, the erev chatzeros, mitzvah gereres mitzvah, lis aved b'mitzvah achrina. Therefore, another mitzvah should be done to it as well. And therefore, they made the bracha amotzi on this bread specifically. Time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the machlekes between the Rishmo, who only allows partial skinning of the carbon to allow the murin to be taken out, which is tzurich gavoya kunta chacham. He can skin the entire carbon, even though there's personal gain there, just as he can save the container with money with the sefer on Shabbos. What does he bring the sefer to? To a mavui, according to Tanakam, even though it's missing one lechi. According to Bermeser, even though there are no lechis there at all. We learned about saving food from a fire, only the amount needed for 3 sudois. He can only save wine from the broken chavis with 1 keli. He can take out bread from the oven, which suffices for 3 meals. We learned about getting up on Friday and about Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos.